Welcome again to Bethel Baptist Church's Searching the Scriptures class, where we take your questions and we answer them from the Word of God. Before we begin today, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, for your grace and your mercy, for your love and your compassion. We thank you for the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ to transform our lives, that we would learn to do your will and abide by your commandments, and in holiness and in righteousness, we would live in you, and you might live through us, and to help us to do what is right in your eyes. The praise and honor and glory of you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Does anyone have any questions for us today? You can always send questions to questions@dbcmh.org and we'll add them to our list. And we would love to hear from you. You can also join us live through Instant Messenger, Yahoo Instant Messenger. Our ID for Yahoo is BBCMH 95037. So we're going to take a look at the question of saints and whether it's God's desire for us to pray for the saints. And it's a common Roman Catholic practice of praying to Mary or praying to one of the others that they classify or identify as saint. So to address this, the first thing we need to do is understand what is a saint biblically. So as we look at saint, we're going to look at 1 Corinthians 1, 1-3. And Mary, you want to look at that for us?
1 Corinthians 1, 1-3. Paul called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God and Stephanus, our brother, and to the church of God, which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, both theirs and ours. Grace be unto you, and peace from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ.
Okay. So here we have the phrase in verse 2, it says, called to be saints. So who or what are saints?
Those that are sanctified in Christ Jesus.
And with all that in every place called upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ our Lord. And so in the beginning of verse 2, he also addresses a letter to the church of God, which is at Corinth, and does not mean the building, but meaning the assembly of believers. To them that are sanctified are set apart in Christ. So those that are distinct and in Christ, these are the ones that are called to be saints. So to be a saint, effectively, is to be a believer, to be one who trusts in the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay. We go over to Philippians chapter 4. 21 and 22, and I'll take that one. Philippians 4, 21 and 22. Salute every saint in Christ Jesus. The brethren which are with me greet you. All the saints salute you, chiefly they that are of Caesar's household. So here we have the in verse 21 and 22, both identifying the saints. Now our saints, people that have passed on, are now in the presence of Christ?
No.
Specifically says, all the saints salute you, chiefly, or primarily, or especially, those that are of Caesar's household. So the implication is that he's dealing with people that he is calling saints, and he is living amongst at that present time. And so it's not limited to those that are in the heavenly kingdom. Let's go to Revelation 14:12. Revelation 14:12. Okay.
Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God in the faith of Jesus.
Okay. So who is he identifying? He says, here is the patience of the saints. Who is he identifying as the saints?
The that keep the commandments of God?
Those that keep the commandments of God and those that keep the faith of Jesus. So here we have clearly, again, identification of the saints, believers. One more passage in Revelation. Revelation 27:9.
And when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison, and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. And they went up on the breadth of the earth, and compassed the camp of the saints about, in the beloved city, and fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them.
Okay. So compass the camp of the saints. So who are the saints? So this would be an indirect type of reference to the heavenly kingdom, the heavenly realm, but it's all those that are there. So it's not, even though it is not limited to those that are in the heavenly realm, it does not exclude that. So saints do include those that pass on before, all who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, that are alive. And those that are alive include those that are on the earth now, as well as those who are in the presence of God, because now they are truly alive in a different way. So what we have is scriptures communicating that saints are those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. So we take a look and question, okay, are some saints closer to God than others? In other words, do some have more of an impact or an effect on being able to get what they want out of God? There are higher gifts. He said that has received his testimony, is set to his seal that God is true. For he whom God has sent speaks the words of God. For God gives not the Spirit by measure unto him. Okay. So are there some people who are more effectively saints than others, and therefore would be closer relationship to Christ and better able to communicate with Christ? No. Why? Right. God gives not the spirit by measure. He doesn't give one person a quarter spirit, another a hundredth spirit, and another an 80% spirit. He gives the spirit. Okay? So we'll go to Matthew 20:20-28.
Then came to him the mother of Zebedee's children with her sons, worshipping him and desiring a certain thing of them. And he said unto her, What wilt thou? She saith unto him, Grant that these my two sons may sit, the one on thy right hand and the other on the left, in thy kingdom. But Jesus answered and said, You know not what you ask. Are you able to drink of the cup that I shall drink of, and to be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? They say unto him, We are able. And he saith unto them, You shall drink indeed of my cup, and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with. But to sit on my right hand and on my left is not mine to give, but it shall be given to them for whom it is prepared of my Father.
How will you
Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many.
Okay. So we have the two brothers, James and John, who come with their mom to try and get a position of honor. And so that position of honor is to sit as his closest advisors, basically, is the idea of sitting on the left and right, which means those would be the, if you really want to reach Jesus, you go through these guys first. Right? And so what does he say about that position? About being on his left or his right?
His father's.
that he's supposed to give. And so there's no real indication. I mean, here you have the people that have walked with Jesus and have been with Jesus, that died for Christ. And so these two guys are not identified as being close enough to Jesus to have that role of honor. So is there really that type of position that someone that we can go to today? This is who you go to because that's where the position of access is greater.
No, it's there's one mediator between God and man.
Mm-hmm. Right. And using that as well, there's one mediator, there's one intercessor between God and man. Now, one of the things that the Roman Catholic Church likes to say is that Paul did say interceding for all men, right? That we are interceding. But do we intercede on behalf of others because they come to us and say, I can't talk to God, but you can, right? Is that what the concept is? Well, that works when it says that we're going to intercede one for another. No, it's to gather together to pray to God and to seek His intervention. But it's not a bypass that I'm closer to God than anyone else. But notice that what He does exalt as the highest of honors, he says here in verse 25 to 28, he's saying, from 25 to 28, he's talking about the issue of authority, right? Gentiles, or the parallel is the unbelievers, exercise dominion over other people. So the princes, those that are of higher authority, exercise dominion or authoritative control over others. So what does he say about Christians? What should their role be? And so it's not having a position of authority that is at play here, but it is dealing with the position of humility and humbleness. Right? It's not an authoritative position. There's no one better or greater or closer than anyone else. It is being a position of humility. And that is great honor there, but that doesn't make you any closer to God. Because even Jesus said that he came to minister. He came to put himself in the lowest position. That makes sense? So it is important to raise the question of saying, okay, who does God and Jesus tell us the right thing? So let's look at Matthew 6, 9-13. Matthew 6, 9-13.
After this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, for thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Okay, so this is normally known as the Lord's Prayer. And so who does God say, or who does Jesus say, pray to? The Father. So pray to the Father. He doesn't go and say, pray to Isaiah, or pray to Jeremiah, pray to one of the most saints that have gone on. He says, go to the Father and pray to the Father. So we're going to go up a few verses. Matthew 6, 5-8. And when you pray, you shall not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But you, when you pray, enter into your closet, and when you have shut your door, pray to the Father which is in secret, and your Father which sees in secret shall reward thee openly. But when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Do not be therefore like unto them, as your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask him. So this passage covers a couple of things. One is, who is it that he says that we are to pray to? Pray to the Father. Now, he also says, do not use vain repetition and repeating the words over and over and over and over and over again. Do we know of some people or prayers that are done purposely, intently, repeating over and over and over again?
The rosary. Yeah, when they say the rosary, it's repetitious.
And so it is repetitious. Whether it's emptiness or not is not necessarily ours to judge, but it's done repetitively over and over, and also over and over again. Which I think is interesting, is part of it is as a form of penance. Right? How do you pay for, and what do you do to pay for your sin? Well, you pray, you say the certain prayer in order to accomplish penance. I've never viewed prayer as a type of punishment for sin. It's where you go and you know it until you acknowledge it.
Yeah, I've been down that road. So, you know, the priest assigns the three, Our Fathers and four Hail Marys, and St. Act of Contrition, which is not really repetitive, but that could sound okay. Let's see, Father, for instance, my last confession was so many years ago.
So many minutes ago, so many seconds ago. If you're a Lutheran, so many seconds ago.
And so on. So that's, I think that prayer has been said once, so it isn't repeated, but you're sorry.
Right, and so what's interesting is in the prayer of repentance is, do the prayer of repentance one time. Mm-hmm. I have failed you, and this is what I've done, or prayer of confession, but then the prayer of Our Fathers, or prayer, or the rosary has been done plurality of times, and it's memorized prayers. And it's not that the prayer is, according to the scripture, it says don't use the vain repetition, either pour your heart out to God. None of you where you go, but look at what he says here. They think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. The more words I say, the more I'm going to be heard. It seems like sometimes when you talk to people about religion or politics, that's where they go. If I can outspeak the other person that I want. But what we don't have, what we do have is specifically targeting praying to our Father, to God in heaven. We look at Mark 11, 22-24.
And Jesus answering, saith unto them, have faith in God, for verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them.
Okay, so what is he implying about prayer? Who do we pray to? Have faith in God. And so if it's trusting in God, and he's saying whatsoever things you desire when you pray, the implication is come before God, and they receive it. And so again, that implication is we go to God, we go to the Father, we pray to him. John 14, 12-18.
Fair Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whosoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If ye love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, did see it, and not neither know it him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you, comfortless, I will come to you.
So what does Jesus say here about prayer? In the verse 13.
What verse 13?
Whenever you ask. Amen. So we've looked at praying to the Father, but how is it that we should be coming to the Father?
Through the Son.
Through the Son, in the name of Jesus Christ. So we come to the Father in the name of Christ. And so we involve the Son, and we ask for the intercession and the intervention of God, but we ask it based upon the faith that we have in Christ and based upon our relationship with Christ. So we come directly to the Father. And, you know, one of the thoughts that just dawned on me is if we think that if we pray to a saint, and the saint will ask God, but then if we are a saint, then why not, again, go directly to God? Because we are saints. Go to John 15:16. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. And whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. So what does this tell us about prayer?
From the Father, in Jesus' name.
Yeah, so we ask the Father in the name of Jesus. And so we don't have anyone going to and saying, go ask. He doesn't say, go ask my mom. He doesn't say, go ask Peter or any of the other saints. He just says, go ask the Father. John 16, 22-28.
And you now, therefore, have sorrow. But I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. And in that day you shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Hitherto have you asked nothing in my name, and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. These things have I spoken unto you in Proverbs, but the time cometh when I shall no more speak unto you in Proverbs, but I shall show you plainly of the Father. At that day you shall ask in my name, and I say not unto you that I will pray the Father for you. For the Father himself loveth you, because you have loved me and have believed that I came out from God. I came forth from the Father and am come into the world again. I leave the world and go to the Father.
Okay. So what does this tell us about who to ask and how to ask?
You go directly to the Father.
Again, going directly to the Father in the name of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
So nowhere in the New Testament do we have any reference to asking anyone or praying to anyone other but the Father, God the Father. And to ask in the name of Jesus Christ. That's all that we have. Psalm 5, 3 and 4.
5, 3, and 4.
Mm-hmm.
Thy voice shall thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee, and will look up. For thou art not a God that hath pleasure in wickedness, neither shall evil dwell with thee. The foolish shall not stand in the sight, thou hatest all of those who are wicked.
Okay, so here the psalmist, when he's saying that he's going to say his prayer, where does he direct his prayer?
To the Lord.
So he's saying, I direct my prayer unto you. I will look up to you. Why? Verse 4. You are not a God that has pleasure in wickedness, and neither shall evil dwell with you. So we're to come to God because he will not have pleasure in wickedness. He does not desire perversity of thought and mind. He instead exposes the heart, and he opens up the heart to the truth. And he cannot accept nor dwell with evil. He has no evil intentions or desire. So we're invited to come directly to God. And we'll go to Psalm 69:13-16. But as for me, my prayer is unto thee, O Lord, in an acceptable time, O God, in the multitude of thy mercy, hear me in the truth of thy salvation. Deliver me out of the mire, and let me not sink. Let me be delivered from them that hate me, and out of the deep waters. Let not the water flood overflow me, neither let the deep swallow me up, and let not the pit shut her mouth upon me. Hear me, O Lord, for thy loving kindness is good. Turn unto me according to the multitude of thy tender mercies. So this psalmist, who is he directing his prayers to? This is the easy friendship. So again, find the guy, find the Lord. And he said, in the multitude of thy mercy, hear me. So he's expecting that when he prays to the Lord, that the Lord will hear. Okay, which leads us up to our next question. Okay, but who hears our prayers? Because one of the times is, well, the saints can hear your prayers. Jeremiah 7:16.
Joe. Therefore pray not to thou for this people, neither lift up cry nor prayer for them, neither make intercession to me, for I will not hear thee.
What is the implication of who hears prayers?
He hears prayers, God, but he's saying he's not going to hear it.
Right. And so, but in essence, what he's communicating is that I won't hear your prayers, and then my implication is no one else will hear them of any value or worth anyway. So if the Lord doesn't hear the prayer, nobody does. And that's the point he's trying to make to Jeremiah. And I'm not going to be listening to their prayers because of the wickedness of their heart. They have continually done wickedly, continually turned away from God. And so he doesn't want them wasting their breath to pray to him if they don't do it for true and right and humble heart. Which is probably he's running into. Isaiah 1:15.
And when you spread forth your hands, I will hide my eyes from you. Yea, when you make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood.
So again, who does he say is listening for prayer? By implication. Right. So only the Lord is able to hear the prayers. Only God is the one that can receive those prayers. No one else, by implication, can hear or receive the prayers and thus have any impact, because it doesn't do any good. So if I had a request for a pastor, that I want a pastor to do something for me, it wouldn't make any sense for me to go
to, I don't know, go to the prayers and say, I want you to ask pastor this. Why don't you go to the pastor yourself? Definitely wouldn't make any sense for you to go to my dog and pray and say, I want pastor to do this. Can you have him do it? Doesn't make any sense. And so we go to the only one that can help. We go to Psalm 65, verses 1 and 2. Praise wait for thee, O God, in Zion, and unto thee shall the vow be performed. O thou that hearest prayer, unto thee shall all flesh come. Now, he gets a little bit, the psalmist gets a lot more explicit here, in that who does he identify as the one who hears prayer? God. And the way that he phrases it, does David believe that anyone else can hear the prayers of believers? Oh, you that hear prayer. And by implication, you're the only one that hears them. You're the only one that can hear them effectively. I mean, other people can overhear your prayer, nothing they can do. Only God is the one that can overhear and overhear prayer. We'll go to Proverbs 16:29.
The Lord is far from the wicked, but he hears the prayer of the righteous.
So who is it that hears prayer?
God.
God does. The Lord does. It's the only, when we hear about listening to prayer, and I don't mean prayer in the context of Old English, a begging or a beseeching or seeking of a personal intercession, but someone who is seeking intercession with God. The only one that hears them is God himself. And we're told in the New Testament that we do that in the name of Jesus. Now, the passage that is used by the Roman Catholics to imply that the saints actually hear our prayers is Revelation 5:8. Amen.
And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and four and 20 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of oil, which are the prayers of saints.
Okay, so we have these golden vials full of odors. Or so we full of incense, full of the aroma, the smoking incense. And so they claim that, see, this is a proof that it's the saints who are the intercessing body here. They're the ones carrying or bringing the prayers to the Father. Now, does that mean that because they have these golden vials full of, shortening the phrase, full of the prayers of saints, that they somehow comprehend those prayers, know what they are, and are able to, and are seeking to intercede? No, there's nothing there that implies that. What it does say is that they are holding these vials full of the prayers of the saints. And we don't know what they're doing with them. But they do, let's say they sing a new song, and he's worthy to hold and so forth and so on. But that's very weak. We use that as implication of pray to the saints because of this. But what we have seen, the predominance of the evidence, is a saint is a believer. And so pray to a saint would be, well, I can pray to God. I think even most Roman Catholics will look at that and laugh, but that's sort of silly. Right? I'm afraid of Joe that he's got to do something that doesn't make any sense to me. But the rest of the same body is no different. And furthermore, there is no implication really of hierarchy of saints. We have Jesus on the right hand of the Father, but no indication of who would be on his right hand or left hand. So, pray to a saint over there on the left and the right hand would be futile at best. And you can go directly to the source. And we're told repeatedly in Scripture to pray to God. And pray to God in the name of Jesus Christ. Nowhere, again, are we ever told or requested to pray to Mary. Even the wedding at Cana. We don't know what Mary's role there, but evidently she had something to do with the wedding. And so it came to her, not because, if I go to you, you go to Jesus. Not the reading of the wedding at Cana has none of that in context. Jesus, or Mary does come to Jesus and ask him to do something. But she leaves it up to him, and she's not functioning as a conduit, though she has more power to hold Jesus than anything else. And then, of course, there's the scriptures that say, you know, the only one that can imply, the only one that can hear our prayers is God. And so it doesn't make any sense to try to pray through some supposed saints when we have access to the Father in the name of Jesus. And nobody has any greater pull than we do. Any other thoughts, ideas, questions, comments? So let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, for your grace, and thank you for your love, your compassion, and your mercy. And we pray that you would strengthen us to do your will, to abide by your commandments, and in holiness and righteousness we might live for you, serve you, worship you, praise and honor you. Praise and honor your glory in your name. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.